Hey, everybody. It's on the Charlie Kirk Show. Ask Me Anything episode. So happy Monday. We talk about Target. We talk about the Dodgers. We talk about Bishop Barron and more. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com, where you can start a high school or college chapter today. Come to our Young Women's Leadership Summit at tpusa.com/YWLS. Laura Ingram, Candace Owens. So many speakers are going to be there. So get your tickets today at tpusa.com/YWLS. Absolutely phenomenal, phenomenal group. You're going to love it. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Question here. Frank from New Hampshire says, Charlie, I'm happily voting for Donald Trump in the primary, but do you think Joe Biden will be the nominee? It's still a mystery and unclear to me. Now, there is a lot of chatter about this IRS whistleblower story, and we have not really even touched that as deeply as it's warranted. Next week, I think we'll probably get into that. Steve Forbes has some strong opinions on this. My opinion, I've been saying on this program for quite some time. Play cut 107, please.
That's not good.
No, and I think that's why next year Joe Biden will not be the Democratic Party nominee.
Whoa. You're on record.
On record. Because the economy, yeah, they can sweep the Hunter stuff away, but that has a stench out there. So you have a poor economy, you have a president people feel is not up to the job anymore, certainly not for the next 4 years. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what the scenario is going to be, but they cannot have him running in November of 2024. Okay, well,
my opinion is it doesn't matter. If it's Joe Biden, if it's John Fetterman, if it's Gavin Newsom, that's going to be a challenge. But they invest in machinery while we invest in primaries. Republicans love investing in primaries because we think the personality and the person matters more than the message or the mantra of the party. You see, it's very collectivistic. It's very Bolshevik. It's very Menshevik. It's very Borg mentality. They focus on early voting and in-person ballot harvesting or ballot chasing in states based on their laws. So if it's Joe Biden or not, and I disagree with Steve Forbes, they're going to micro-target voters on wedge issues, on race, January 6th, on abortion. They're going to make this thing not just close, but they control the mules. And we love campaigning. I mean, we're going to have this long and bloody English, Spanish, French Civil War. Pick your country, any country. That is nasty and it's brutish, but it will not be short, in the words of Mr. Hobbes. Thomas Hobbes obviously had social contract theory saying that human beings' nature is nasty, brutish, and short. He was coming out of the English Civil War when he said that. The only problem is this will not be a short civil war. This will be a long, drawn-out war. The Washington, D.C. consultant class, they just can't wait. They can't wait for ad buys in Iowa and ad buys on Super Tuesday and ad buys online and fundraisers and all this. And the Democrats are going to say, well, you're going to waste your time on that. Okay. Where are the Democrats spending their money? It's not as if they're not spending money. So we're spending $1 billion on a vanity popularity contest. We're spending $1 billion on should it be Trump or should it be DeSantis or Tim Scott or Asa Hutchinson or Vivek? And they're going to spend $1 billion on negative campaigning against Republicans in Arizona. They're going to spend $1 billion for grassroots infrastructure in Waukesha and Eau Claire. And this thing is going to unfold, and then Donald Trump wins the nomination in March or April of next year, and ta-da. We're going to be looking around, and we're going to say, how are we going to win? We're doing our best at Turning Point Action, tpaction.com. We do not nearly have the resources that are necessary yet. Democrats are setting us up, and we're walking right into it. We're stumbling into it. So Steve Forbes might be right. He might be right. Might be Joe Biden. It might not be Joe Biden. I mean, look, this is just a piggyback on this. Cut 100. Horrible news for Joe Biden. New CNN poll shows that 66% of Americans say Biden victory would be a setback or a disaster. Doesn't matter. They'll figure it out. They have a machine that they think they can get anybody elected regardless of the headwinds. Play cut 100, please.
2024 lead. Horrible news. Horrible for Joe Biden in our new CNN poll. While the president leads his Democratic competitors by a huge margin, two-thirds of all of the American people surveyed, 66% of the public, say that a Biden victory would either be a setback or a disaster for the United States.
It is true. Very well, they might replace Joe Biden with Gavin Newsom, or Joe Biden with Oprah Winfrey, or Joe Biden with Michelle Obama, or whatever. That's not the point. Stop looking at the actual horses and look instead at the rules of the race. They control the referees. They control the plumbing. They just plug and play in and out. We will be vindicated on this. We will be proven right over a period of time. And Republicans seem so interested. I mean, Tim Scott alone is going to spend $100 million. And look, I know the Republican base quite well. They're not going to get behind Tim Scott. I'm glad he's running to go, you know, push back on wokeism. It's a complete waste of resources and time. Okay. Let's get to another question here. I have a lot happening. Charlie, what are these companies thinking? Why do they keep on going in the LGBT direction? Happy Pride Month. Well, almost Pride Month. Ha, ha, ha. And that is Roland from Louisiana. I mean, look, it's continuing almost uninterrupted. You just look at Target, though. They're starting to finally feel some backlash. Target stock falls to the lowest point in 3 years amid backlash over their Pride merchandise for children. Want to play a piece of tape here. Cut 61. Woman goes to Target to show what is actually being pushed to our kids. Cut 61.
We're at Target right now, and there's a lot of controversy going on about all of the Pride stuff that's coming out with kids' clothes and things like that. So we're going to go to the kids' section, and we're actually going to see if they're putting weird, creepy, uncomfy stuff on children's clothing. I'm next to a literal onesie that says whatever the hell that means. We have Glad You Came Out, and I'm So Happy That You're Queer in the kids section. I'm sorry, but pride and toddler don't belong in the same sentence. So I found an extra small swimsuit in the child section. It says light binding effect on it. And then the bottoms in the kids section, keep in mind, say tuck friendly construction.
Parents' party is finally waking up. The perverts' party controls Target. And by the way, the CEO of Target is all on board for this. He says, we're glad we're doing this. He says that diversity works for us. Well, not so far. I mean, Target stock is collapsing. Keep it going, everybody. Continue the boycott. Keep the pressure on. Continue here. Just play cut 201 as a B-roll. This is just a B-roll of the gay children's clothes they have at Target. And isn't it just amazing that it went from, oh, you know, accept and live and let live, to now they have to go after children. It's always been about children, though. This is in their literature. Herbert Marcuse, Michel Foucault, Jacques Derrida. It is an intentional campaign of initiation. The four stages is you must first tolerate it, then you must accept it, then you must celebrate it, then you must participate in it. And if you're not going to participate in it, your kids must participate in it. I remember a country I grew up in the early 2000s where this would have been locked down by Democrats. I remember a country where I grew up in the early 2000s where Barack Hussein Obama came out against gay marriage in favor of traditional marriage. I mean, we're getting messages from parents. I'm going to read you one message right here. All caps message. Stay out of my daughter's locker room, you sick scumbags. Now, I do want to mention this. I mean, that kind of energy and that kind of intensity is widespread. I'm going to build out a brilliant argument by Dr. James Lindsay that he articulated on this program. You guys should go back and download the podcast with Dr. James Lindsay. It's called The Intentional Campaign to Seek Out a Drag Floyd. What is Drag Floyd? Well, we saw George Floyd and how they used that and misrepresented that situation to make it racial when it was not, to make it seem as if it was an assassination, which it was not, to then have a mandate to spread the religion of anti-racism for the looting, the burning, the destruction, and actual the punishing and the lowering of standards and the lowering of living standards for Black America. But I'm going to talk about how we cannot fall into the trap, because they're almost laying an emotive trap. They're trying to troll us. They're trying to provoke us. They're trying to get us into a state of affairs where we're going to act emotively and, God forbid, physically. A lot of people are saying, well, you know, do not force your perverted beliefs on us. Do not come after our kids. Oh, boy, do I agree. But we must be disciplined, full of self-control going into June, because they'd love to have you lose your mind. Your reaction is their action. It's part of their operating manual. In fact, there is a website called Beautiful Trouble. You guys can go to beautifultrouble.org. Beautiful Trouble is a toolbox for revolution, and it's creative tools for a more just world. It's all written by Marxists for Marxists. At beautifultrouble.org, you will see the books and resources that they're using to indoctrinate your kids, the solutions, as they put it, for solidary actions. It's really amazing. It's all right there. They're pretty public about it. And you'll learn a lot when you go to this website. I mean, the enemy's plans are hiding in plain sight. So Action Lab is there. They say they're an incubator for creative campaigns and cultural interventions that share a beautiful troublemaking sensibility. And they have a resistance hotline and all about race and climate and trans. It's all right there. And so it actually, they articulate the playbook, the mode of action, the SOP, the standard operating procedures, are all right there. And one of the things that they use, obviously, is they misrepresent our reaction to their insanity and radicalism. So, for example, the target thing, all the headlines are right-wingers targeting, right-wingers misrepresenting, right-wingers this. And like, wait, well, hold on a second. You guys are the ones that are grooming kids. They are trained this way. The journalists, the activists are trained this way. But remember George Floyd. Again, the country has become significantly less free, far more racially divided. Black America is in a really tough spot because of white liberal colonization of Floydapalooza or Floydian type activism. The police have been dismembered, basically, financially. They have been deconstructed and defunded. And I mean, Chicago is a dystopian hellscape. It's really sad to see. Brandon Johnson is a total Marxist. And it's sad. I have a heart for the Black community to be able to flourish and succeed and to rebuild families and have strong communities and put gangbangers in prison and to have fathers back in the home and to have schools that actually teach kids to read. I have a heart for that. I think every decent person does. I think it's wrong to have the bigotry of low expectations that are put forward by Democrat power-hungry white politicians, largely, that use the black community as pawns. And then Black politicians at times in the Democrat Party don't do any better, right? The Black politicians, unfortunately, like Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson, they get wealthy and powerful while exploiting the Black community, while pretending to represent the Black community, okay? Regardless of what background you come in, the laws of nature apply to all people of all races. If you stay loyally married to a person, if you do not commit crimes, if you learn to read, if you save money, all these different things, you're going to succeed. Okay, so what they want, though, is they want another Floyd moment. Floyd was misrepresented as a martyr, as an assassination. They were able to get a lot of power. BLM came to fruition. They extorted corporations. They got super powerful. They want that desperately. They're seeking it. They're actively seeking it out. You can tell this by how they're lying about us, how they're smearing me, how they're slandering me. And they want drag Floyd. To kind of give you some context, just remember, Nancy Pelosi looked to the heavens and said, "Thank you, George Floyd, for sacrificing your life." I mean, this has some like Christ elements to this, as if he's some sort of a martyr that died so we could be free. It's very creepy and weird. Nancy Pelosi, play cut 108.
So again, thank you, George Floyd, for sacrificing your life for justice, for being there to call out to your mom. How heartbreaking was that? Call out for your mom. I can't breathe. But because of you, your name will always be synonymous with justice.
And just to dissect that, it's super strange. She's basically saying that George Floyd died willingly. I mean, that is implied in what a sacrifice is, okay? As if it wasn't an accident, okay? Anyway, they want that in Pride Month. I can't say this enough. Stay peaceful, everybody, always. But in the month of June, you're going to see the degenerate stuff in parades, and you're going to see the drag queens. You're going to see kids that are just being groomed. You're going to see dudes in thongs dancing in front of young kids. And it's going to inspire a counteraction, a reaction, understandably, right? You have to stay peaceful because in some ways they're trying to lay a trap so that somebody acts uncharacteristically. So that we talked about this Dr. James Lindsay. So somebody, God forbid, punches a drag queen, or somebody, God forbid, you know, does something violent or does something where somebody dies, where they can misrepresent it. Remember, the intel agencies, they love using, and the people, Mockingbird Media, they love using viral moments to try to make themselves more powerful. Kyle Rittenhouse misrepresented that one. Nicholas Sammon misrepresented that one. The bike situation with the person they called Karen with the black mob in New York, they misrepresented that one. Jordan Neely, they misrepresent that one. They look for these little micro incidents that they can blow up, edit, add emotional branding to, that then help feed their mass narrative to take over the country. Don't fall for it. Nonviolence, your weapon is your credit card. That's your sword. Okay, I want to get to another question here. Charlie, I got in a debate yesterday with my husband. I believe they're intentionally going after children. My husband called me a QAnon conspiracy theorist. I love the program. What evidence can you show me that they are indeed going after our children? I wish my house was not divided on this topic. They're totally going after your children. It's a deliberate campaign. In fact, let's play cut 63. Patrick O'Malley, a psychiatrist working with Texas Children's Hospital, tells the story of introducing himself with they, them pronouns and privately getting a kid to come out as non-binary, then watching the child come out to their father in the consulting room. I have to give you a little bit more context to this video. This is a psychiatrist who works at a Texas Children's Hospital. He's bragging about how he's able to corrupt a child to then later see the result of that corruption when that child goes back to their father. This is so sick. This is so evil. Patrick O'Malley should be in prison. So yes, they're going after your kids. Play cut 63.
And then I asked the kid how they were addressed, and they told me as much. And then a few minutes later they came out to their father as non-binary, and I talked to them later, and I said, you know, I hope I didn't kind of, you know, force you to come out in any way you didn't want to. And they said, no, it just seemed like the right time. You introduced yourself with your pronouns, and from that, I knew that I kind of had an ally.
I don't think that legally we should have laws where kids can go to these pride events. If you're 18, 19, 20 years old, whatever. If you're 9 years old, you have no place for that. Period. It's abuse. It's grooming. It's degenerate. Kids should not be able to go to these parades. Have you seen what happens at these parades? I hope not. Probably a nice, you know, you're probably a clearer thinker. I mean, it is just, there is no reason why a kid should be going to these at all. And by the way, why do you have to have a parade every year? Now, this is a provocative but honest thing. What's the use? Is it some sort of coping mechanism or something? I don't understand. You control everything, okay? The LGBT Gestapo controls everything. What is the need for it? And then why do you need children there? I mean, we get it. You're in control of the corporations. You're in control of our military. You're in control of our financial instruments. And I mean, you have to wonder, are you trying to fill some sort of existential despair? They fill the spiritual void with wokeness. But again, this is how like sheltered I think some of us are. We really kind of suspected, but we didn't really know what happened during June. Well, now we have public health officials saying that monkeypox cases go wild. Now we know what's happening in June. It's not exactly, they're not going home and just reading poetry to each other. Again, you're adults, whatever, I guess. My temperament is generally, I don't want to overly involve yourselves in your personal decisions, but it's not about that. It's not. This is not something that is worthy of celebration. It's not something that is worthy of participation. I think a lot of people have been in denial. I really do. This is not something that I think people should elevate in a way that is quote unquote pride. They say, what are you going to do for pride? What are you going to do for Pride Month? And let me just say this as well. I think this is important. That someone who is a private, you know, let's in private, they have same-sex attraction, they call themselves gay, and they don't march in parades and they don't do this stuff. I think that's a separate issue. That's a completely separate thing than what we're seeing, which is somebody who wants special rights and privileges and to tell us how to act. I think most Americans have no problem, even though we might have an issue of the definition of marriage. I mean, marriage should be one man, one woman. That the temperament of America largely is, okay, you have this belief, you have this behavior, not marching in parades, not marching in parades, not going after kids, all that. I think that's actually the spirit that is part of gays against groomers. But then you have this whole other different thing. And if there ever was a schism, I would like to know how on earth and why on earth a majority of same-sex attracted Americans are partners with people that think they're an opposite sex. Those are technically very different things. I guess in the spirit of coalition building and intersectionality, you know what we should take pride in as a country? Staying loyally married to your spouse and raising good kids with good values. That's something that we should probably try to celebrate. We shouldn't celebrate degeneracy. We shouldn't celebrate what obviously happens in June where that, do you have that monkeypox clip, Ryan, of that woman where she just like flat out says it. She says, yeah, it's mostly men that get it. And again, I don't wish monkeypox on people. No one does. That's cruel. But it's also like, okay, what behavioral pattern are you engaging in? It's not happening because someone's sneezing at a gay bar, okay? It's not like someone says, achoo, oh my gosh, I have monkeypox. It's not the way it works. And something else is happening. And they're like, oh, well, you know, they need a whole month to celebrate. You have a whole year where everything is configured in your direction. From our art, to our movies, to our music, to our language, to our schools. And it's still not enough. Still not enough. And this is, at the root of this is one of the least tolerant groups of people. 114, college girl got a zero on her project proposal for using the term biological women. The T in LGBT is tyranny. It is totalitarianism. Play cut 114.
I got a zero on a project proposal in my class because I used the term biological women, which is apparently not allowed anymore. She even said it was a good project proposal, but I got a zero because I used this term that's exclusionary and not allowed anymore, so. And I 100% know that this is like the most biased grade ever because my project is about transgenders competing in biological women's sports. How am I supposed to do my final project if I can't use the word biological women? But that's what my project is about.
Moments like this, I wish we had Tucker Carlson. Moments like this, Tucker would have her on and he'd go, I mean, come on, obviously you're a decent person. Like, boom, go viral. Such a talent. Miss Tucker deeply for moments like this. And it's not just there. I mean, it's across the board. You got gay raptors, which is just so interesting, right? I mean, if you were to look at, you know, the average consumer that truly cares about gay politics, okay? Like Williamsburg, New York. So Williamsburg, New York is considered to be one of the gayest neighborhoods in America, okay? I'm not saying that negatively. I'm not saying that in a way that is just a fact. It's a very gay neighborhood. Is there a single Ford Raptor in Williamsburg, New York? There are plenty of Ford Raptors in Midland, Texas. They're just telling their consumers, we hate you. We hate your values. We hate what you stand for. Here's cut 115. This is the Biomedical HIV Prevention Summit in 2023 in Las Vegas. Entering the stage is Dr. Dimitri Daskalakis, White House Deputy Director for Monkeypox Response. Look at this, cut 115. Look, I don't wish HIV on anyone, nor do you. But there's a very simple way to prevent yourself from getting HIV. Stop having unlimited amounts of gay sex with strangers, okay? It's a good way to prevent it. You don't need some sort of summit, some sort of vaccine. But they don't want to say that because that would be politically incorrect. This year's summit will lean into sex and pleasure, it said. Since sex is the main way that HIV is transmitted, we need to focus on consensual sex and all of its iterations. We'll talk about kink, fetishes, sex work in an open, honest, and frank way. After all, if we can't talk about sex, how can we talk about HIV prevention? You know, I'm not worried about getting HIV. Those that are should probably say, maybe there's something I'm doing that increases my likelihood of getting such a thing. And no, to answer your questions, that's not the luggage thief. That's a whole different one. You can't keep them straight. You got Levine, you got the luggage thief, you got this guy. You got a real cast of characters over there in our government. Okay, the Los Angeles Dodgers. Now, full disclosure, producer Andrew is a big Dodgers fan. Loves the Dodgers. I won't fault him for that because the Cubs are probably doing something super bad too. But I bet if the Chicago Cubs have some sort of gay night or something, it just never, ever stops. So I don't want to pick too much on the Dodgers for Andrew's sake, but this is a very serious story. Okay, so here's basically the backstory. The Los Angeles Dodgers, because it's Pride Month, so everyone must do their part to pay the tithe to the holy Pride Month. They were going to bring this organization called the Holy Sisters of the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. They do outward anti-Christian public profane sex acts. They mocked Christ. They mock Christ. And so the Dodgers caught wind of this. And at first, the Dodgers did the right thing. They said, yeah, this is not for us. And then they got a ton of backlash from the Gestapo. And they brought them back after the zealots complained. And now it's this big story. Bishop Barron, who I actually had breakfast with about 9 months ago, he tends to not be very political. And I think he deserves great credit for speaking out on this. I get it. He's so focused on the word. He's very strong on moral teaching, but he's coming out on this. And Bishop Barron calls on Catholics and the faithful to boycott the LA Dodgers in defense of our Catholic faith. I hope you understand that Bishop Barron speaking out here, this is a new voice on the landscape. He basically kind of just usually stays out of this. He's like, I don't know. And I don't say that critically. He's a disciplined and unbelievable theologian. He's Catholic. I am not. I think the world of that man. He's taught me a lot, and I think he's a great spokesperson for Christ. But now he's getting into, quote unquote, the culture war. This is not, you know, this is not happy talk. Right? This is not some sort of, oh, you know, we're all going to get along. Do we have any clips I can play to prove my point here, Ryan, of these Sisters of Indulgence? I know I have this clip on Twitter. It's hard to describe where these basically half-naked men are dancing on a crucifix in a provocative, profane way, making light of the passion and of the sacrifice of our Lord. And so I hope there's some video I could show and pepper in here. But the Dodgers are now doubling and tripling down. The Los Angeles Dodgers, they have said for a while, you know, okay, not political. They don't like their faithful audience. They do not, obviously. Could you imagine, though? Again, they're going to get away with it. Hopefully there's some backlash. And here we are in a country where if you went to a baseball game, and by the way, they're giving them an award, just so we're clear. The LA Dodgers are giving the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence a reward. Not to get too theological on you, I have to do this, though. In Romans 1, it talks about God's will be revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, of God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood, which is made. It goes on to say, sinful desires of their heart, to sexual impurity, to the degrading of their bodies. They exchange the truth about God for a lie. It's talking maybe about end times. It's debated in some theological circles, but it sounds like you're reading the newspaper. And there was some backlash to hockey, but this is just a theme. They think they outnumber you. They think you have no power. They outright hate you. Now, Major League Baseball is not as popular as it was 10 years ago. I find it very hard to watch baseball now. It used to be a beautiful sport. It's somewhat nice. I mean, why are these Dodger Christians putting up with it? Isn't Kershaw a Christian? Clayton Kershaw, he's a Christian? I don't even know if he's still in the Dodgers. I know he, I think he was a Christian. I think he is a Christian. He was on the Dodgers. That's how little I follow baseball. Andrew would know. Why are these players putting up with this? Because they want to get paid. They love money more than they love their faith. I hate to be that cruel. You shouldn't associate with this, guys. If you are a Major League Baseball player and your team is doing this, you should just say, you know what? I'm done. Try to win without me. It's the picket line. Remember how upset all the athletes got? Oh, my goodness, take a knee, the whole thing. Yeah, but when they openly mock our Lord and Savior, somebody that millions of Americans consider to be in a personal relationship with, a divine relationship with, you probably got to make them feel the heat. But the LA Dodgers hate you, they hate your values, and they hate the country. We'll see how it works out for them. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.